Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us today. Within the next month, thousands of high school seniors in South Florida will get their diplomas and end one phase of their lives. They should be planning to go to school in the fall, but all of that has been altered and it's been put in limbo. There's still no word on which colleges and universities will open their campuses in the fall or hold online courses. Now, if you're a parent or a student that's part of the class of 2020, we want to hear from you. Call in 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-WLRN. You can always find us on Twitter or Facebook at WLRN Sundial. What are you going to do about the fall? Are you going to go to school? Are you going to stay home? Maybe take a semester off? Maybe you have a question about what you should do. Again, 800-743-9576. We're joined now by Cedric Sawyer. He's a senior at Miami Southridge Senior High, and he's going to the University of Florida. He plans on studying criminal justice. Cedric, great to have you on the program.
Thank you for the opportunity. I'm so appreciative of this moment.
Oh, definitely, for us as well. Also joining us is Anna Rivero. She's a senior at New World School of the Arts. She's going to the Berklee School of Music in Boston, and she plans on studying musical theater. Anna, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
And finally, we have Dave Marcus. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author of Acceptance, a legendary guidance counselor helps seven kids find the right colleges and find themselves. He's also an admissions coach and former education reporter at the Miami Herald. Dave, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me back.
Cedric and Anna, I want to start with you. You're seniors. You know, senior year, this is supposed to be a great year for you. You know, it's a fun time. It's the final year, you know, before you end this phase of your life. And of course, all the fun things that you get to do your senior year, right? Prom, graduation, all those things. Anna, let me start with you. What was your senior year like? And then how did it all change once this pandemic started?
Wow. I mean, it's a lot to think about for sure. But right before coronavirus was announced and we were told that schools wouldn't be reopening and that everything was going to move virtual, I was actually the lead in a play at my school called Dance Nation by Claire Barron. And we had just been in rehearsals and we were actually getting ready to do our opening night. And, you know, less than an hour before, we were told that the show wouldn't be going up.
Wait a minute. Right before the show, you were
told
it's done. You can't do it.
It was the day of, I mean, we had teachers who were coming. Students were being super supportive. Everyone was like, I'm so excited to see you guys. And we had been in rehearsals every day. I mean, it had been tech week. We were there until way later than we should have been every night. And, you know, it was really hard because we were all starting to get into costume and really starting to get into character. And then our director was told, hey, like, it's not safe right now and there are concerns about safety. So as of now, it's postponed. And then unfortunately, as coronavirus and COVID, you know, became a very serious matter, the show was canceled, unfortunately.
You know what? As a former theater guy, I don't know what that's like, but I can't imagine that. That's so terrible. I'm so sorry.
It's not okay.
That's terrible. Terrible news. Cedric, how about you? What was your senior year like until all this hit?
For me, it was, I was living like a double school life. I am a dual enrollment student, which means that I go to college and high school simultaneously. I took my dual enrollment classes or courses at Miami-Dade College in Southern Florida. And I was also, not only was I taking the classes there, but at the college, I was also a member of the Jubilation Dance Ensemble, which is a collegiate dance team with Michelle Grant Murray. And just like Anna, we had a show coming up, and we were practicing like a lot of days, long hours. And unfortunately, I think we were 3 days before the premiere of our national show, which brought people from everywhere, from different countries, from the Caribbean, from everywhere. But it got canceled, unfortunately. And then as far as high school, I was a national leader there and a student leader, but I couldn't really fulfill everything because of everything that happened. So a lot of our events that we wanted to do for the seniors and for all of the other kids for like mental health awareness and et cetera were shot down, unfortunately, because of coronavirus.
Oh my goodness. That's, again, so much that you had that you were looking forward to. That's terrible. By the way, did either of you get to go to prom? Cedric, did you go to prom?
No, and it was very unfortunate that I bought my prom attire the week before our school.
Anna, what about you? What happened?
Actually, the exact same thing. Had finally found a dress, just bought it, but I did not get to attend prom.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You know, and I feel for you guys because this is supposed to be a really special time for both of you. Before I bring in Dave, you know, obviously now there's no graduation like the everybody in the big room and everybody gets called up and you walk up on stage. Now it's a virtual thing. Anna, what I mean, how are you approaching this?
I mean, it's been so hard, and it's been honestly the hardest part for me has been watching my classmates and kind of the universal pain and like frustration that we're all feeling, but to kind of carry through just knowing that we will have opportunities to see each other, and you know, my school has been so great about emphasizing that and letting us know that we will have our moment to be together whenever it's safe.
But
just remembering that I'm not alone and that every senior everywhere has lost something and that it's part of a sacrifice we have to make to, unfortunately, have to make to get better and heal the world.
So, you are part of a generation that is going through something unbelievable. Cedric, I mean, for you, you know, and you work with folks on mental health issues. I mean, this has got to take a toll, man.
Yes, it definitely does take a toll, but it has caused me to, you know, started to embrace my passion even more. I feel like school was a getaway and a rescue for many kids who go through a lot of things. And being from South Ridge, it's understood that we are a Title I school, meaning that a lot of our students, they come from underprivileged families. And there's a big stigma or like stereotype that underprivileged families, you know, they have a lot that goes on at home or they lack in a lot of areas. So our school has done their very best to, you know, try to accommodate those needs financially, accommodate those needs, whether it's food, housing, water. But the biggest thing that the school cannot do now is mentally, which is what our counselors were doing before. So as of now, they're trying to, you know, mediate for students by giving them interactive things to do, giving them challenges, and giving them things to look forward to. And like Anna said, a lot of the schools down here are trying to create a sense of community, especially for the graduates, so that they don't slip into that depression or that sense of isolation when it comes to, you know, being home or being quarantined. Because now more than ever, we have a lot more time to think about the same things that used to weigh us down before, but I feel like the graduates this year are doing the best they can. And I just think even the virtual graduation is a blessing in disguise because it's still acknowledgement that we deserve after our 13, 14 years of being in school.
Yeah, no, you know what? You've graduated and you're ready to move to the next step of your life. Dave Marcus, you know, before we start talking about admissions and how this is going to change things for these students as they then go to college or the next level of school for them, I mean, what do you think is going to happen to this group of students, this generation, everything that's happening to them? I mean, I hear positivity and I hear, you know, optimism, but at the same time, that's a toll that's taken on their lives.
Right. And hearing Cedric and Anna breaks my heart, and the kids I've volunteered with, the kids I've worked with, same thing all over the country, in fact, all over the world. And one of the things that I think we're not talking about, frankly, in this country is, this is a little bit off from what you're saying, but it's a background issue. We are a country that doesn't have a lot of coming of age rituals for kids and for teenagers. And getting a driver's license is one, but certainly going through senior year and prom and graduation is one. And those have just been wiped away, school after school, public, private, et cetera. So my heart breaks for them. And then the college admissions picture, the college, you know, what are you going to do next year for seniors or for 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th graders is daunting and difficult.
That is an interesting point that you brought up. These are, you know, these are coming of age moments. These are those kind of moments that we plan out ahead of time. We know this is coming. We're looking forward to it. We don't just, it's not something that's coming. We're looking forward to, you know, the prom and graduation and all these things, and families get involved. They all plan. Again, we're talking about the high school class of 2020 graduating in a difficult world, the pandemic blurring the future for a lot of them. But what has this done to your plans? If you are a student in the class, a parent of a student of the class of 2020, what are your plans for the summer? What are your plans for the fall? Again, universities are still trying to figure out what they're going to do. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. You can also call in 800-743-9576. Let me go to the phones. I've got Renee in Plantation, who's got a nephew who's graduating. Renee, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much. I am never, ever able to get through. This is my first. I am so happy to finally get through. I worked on the NPR campus when I was in SUNY Oswego pursuing journalism, never fruition, but that's okay. I worked at NPR in the newsroom, so this is really exciting for me to get through. Finally!
Fantastic. Well, great to well, Renee, you have, let me get this right, you have a nephew who's...
I do. My nephew lost both of his parents. And we moved him down here a few years ago. He lives with his grandmother. She passed away in September. And this was going to be his year. He made friends. He was on the bowling team. All was looking rosy and wonderful. His plan was to move back to New Jersey to be with some friends and start his life back there since he wanted to have some closure. And everything just went poof, you know, just like one bad magic trick.
He's not going now?
No. So it's too scary for him to, you know, he's independent as an 18-year-old who had to grow up sooner than many 18-year-olds. He was going to have his own apartment, and he's too scared to, like, move back to New Jersey to sit in an apartment where he's going to pursue online school. Like, the thought of that is too scary.
So just real briefly, what's he going to do in his time off?
Right. So we made the decision, listen, why don't you stay here for a year? It's not ideal. We found a relatively inexpensive apartment for him, and he's going to start Broward College for the year.
Okay.
It's not ideal, but at least he'll have support from us as he's getting on his own to live in an apartment, which is what he wanted to do anyway in New Jersey. So we're trying to look at the blessings, but to be honest, the whole situation stinks.
No, this
you
is...
know, when you, yeah,
this is an interesting point that you brought up, and I appreciate that your call, Renee, that he decided to stay, and this is part of our conversation today. Dave, when you hear that, I mean, what are the biggest concerns you hear from families about the fall, about what to do for the fall?
Right, and although her nephew's specifics are really difficult and really different from a lot of kids, it's that the quandary is the same, which is you have this plan. And it's just upended. What do you do? Now, Luisa, last time I talked to you, actually, I was heading down to Miami to speak in downtown Miami about college admissions. And one of the things I told you was that I'm a huge advocate of a gap year, just taking a year off to volunteer, to study, to grow up. And in fact, what I think we're having now is a forced gap year or gap semester for a lot of students.
I want to do this because I want to talk about the gap year with you here in a little bit later. But what right now, what are universities and colleges communicating to students about what's happening, or are they?
They're desperately trying to. And I have to say they're really doing a good job in these limitations when everything changes day to day. Many schools like Notre Dame are thinking about starting early and finishing before Thanksgiving. They're thinking about it. Other schools are saying in places like Boston, where Anna's going to, hopes to go to college, are saying we need to take a wait and see attitude. We need to see what happens with the virus. So the schools are saying to some kids, you can delay a semester. To other kids, you can have classes online or a hybrid, maybe some online, some in school. But everything's changing, and a lot of schools are really not going to let students know until June or July what the plans are, because it depends on health.
So wait, the schools are telling the students you could take a semester off?
Well, a lot of schools don't want that because they're going to lose income. But they realize there are three problems. One is that students could get there and they could get sick, or they could get their grandparents or parents sick when they come home for Thanksgiving or breaks or weekends. Number two, they could get there and their professors, who tend to be older, could get sick, and that could cause a problem. And three, just as important, I'd say, is that, or almost as important, is that kids can get to campus and then they're going to be so distracted. What if you're in a lecture room with 50 kids, 50 students, and somebody sneezes? There's going to be like, everybody's going to run for the fire exit.
Yeah,
so
there's still a lot of fear.
Discounted. A lot of fear. And it also depends apart, of course, of what part of the country you're in, and if it's a rural kind of remote campus or a more urban campus like University of Miami or Boston University. But yeah, it's a really complicated thing. And I would say that we just don't know now what schools are going to decide for August and September.
Yeah, we've heard different university systems around the country making decisions. I mean, the California state system has shut down their schools, are going online. Florida's still trying to figure this out. They'd like to open in the fall. Again, the number is 800-743-9576. 800-743-WLRN. If you are a student or family member of someone for the class of 2020, what are the plans for the fall? What are you going to do? We heard from Renee in Plantation. Renee, I wish your nephew the best of luck. Cedric, you are going to the University of Florida. You want to, but are you?
Yes, I am. I plan on going to the University of Florida. I got accepted. It seems as if I have a full ride there. But through Miami-Dade College and the dual enrollment program, I've already received my associate's in criminology this past April. So my experience is going to be cut short if fall is going to be delayed. And I'd probably rather stay down here if that's going to be that, to be a center of the time being and not to waste any money or effort to go up there if it's going to be
if they say they're open, will you go?
Yes.
And what about the concerns, again, because look, highly unlikely we're going to find a vaccine before the fall. We're going to be dealing with this for a while. Are you okay with that?
Yes, I mean, I still feel like there'd still be an experience within the quarantine experience that'll be in Gainesville. As far as still going up there, I still plan on being safe and actually quarantining myself and isolating myself on campus. But I still want to, take advantage of being in a new environment, actually having some sort of college experience rather than staying here and not really doing much.
Wait, all right, so I'm going to push back on you here, Cedric. Going to college and having the college experience, I mean, the college experience, from what I remember, is you're hanging out with your friends. Everybody likes it, lots of parties, good times, along with the studying. And again, you can have classes, as Dave said, 50, 60, 70 students. How do you protect yourself?
Well, I feel like in the discretion of the school discretion, I feel like they probably make it to where the classrooms are more safe. If it ever comes to a point where I am jeopardizing my health, then I would consider not going as well. But I really do have a strong feeling that the courses are going to be, as many have said before, half and half or remotely virtual. So I just, and I'm not that much of like a party goer. I'm not even a party goer. I'm not the type of person, but I do like communication. I do like communing with people and networking, even if it has to be,
Listen, Cedric, you still got to socialize, my friend. I'm an introvert, and even I still enjoyed college. Anna, you are going to Berklee School of Music. You're going up to Boston, and that is one of the hardest hit areas for coronavirus.
Yeah.
You also have an extra risk because of your mother.
Right. Yeah.
Explain.
Both my mother and my grandmother are immunosuppressed. My grandmother has Parkinson's and my mom has ankylosing spondylitis. This whole coronavirus situation has definitely put a huge stressor in terms of college because, Boston is kind of an epicenter for COVID and everything that's going on right now. And, there's definitely been the concerns of how to keep my mother safe and, ensure that everyone is healthy if campus is open in the fall.
Because if you go, one of the tricky parts to this is you may not be able to come back for a while. Visiting your mom and your grandmother could put them at risk.
Right, 100%. And that's definitely been a point of deliberation over going. But similar to Cedric, I feel that if the campus is open, I mean, it's just so hard, right? Because we've all gone through the college process and we've spent months working out financials. And for me, there's an additional audition process. So I actually spent the past few months, you know, traveling and doing auditions in Chicago and New York and things like that. So there's been this whole kind of build up to this moment. And it's difficult to kind of weigh the pros and cons and you know, make sure that you're keeping your loved ones safe and what's the sacrifice of going.
I want to ask you, have you made that decision? Do you know what you're going to do?
Yes. So in the case that Boston Conservatory at Berkeley opens in the fall, which has not been announced yet officially, you know, as Dave said, everything is kind of up in the air. But if it is open, I will be attending. And, you know, I'd likely have to work out whether I would stay with someone else over winter break, if I would come home, or if I would stay with someone in Boston, or what the situation would be, whatever is, you know, at that moment, safest and in the best interest of my family. But, it's kind of a...
It sounds difficult.
A day-by-day situation, yeah.
It sounds like a very difficult decision that you have to make there. The number is 800-743-9576. Looking for folks in the class of 2020, if you're a student, a parent, what is the plan for the fall? What have you heard about the plans from your university or college? What are you going to do? Let me go to Anna in Miami. Anna, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good. But you've got two kids in college right now, right?
Yeah, so I have one son at Cornell. He was in Barcelona studying abroad, of course. He had to come back right before it got really bad there. And he wants to graduate in December, so he doesn't know if he's going to be his last semester in campus or at home. So this is his situation. My daughter is a senior high school, supposedly graduation. They decide yesterday they're going to do a drive-in graduation. So all the parents are going to park in a parking lot, and they're going to have a stage, and the kids are going to walk, just the kids are going to walk 6 feet apart and go up on the stage and then be recognized with all the cars and honking, and so at least they feel like they had something.
Right, right.
And she's supposed to go to Sarah Lawrence. It's right there in New Rochelle where the center of New York it is.
Yeah.
So we don't know. I've been following both schools. Cornell, you know, they're trying to go back. You know, Dr. Anthony Fauci is a graduate alumni, so he's being very close to the school and give them the guidelines. But
and for your daughter, what's the choice?
So Sarah Lawrence said they want to go on campus. They offer free classes for the summer online to get the students engaged. I think it was a very good move. And they normally May 1st for the deposit. They extend now because a lot of kids have not made the decision. My daughter had made the commitment, but a lot of kids haven't.
Does she want to go up there?
She is desperate to go.
And you? What about you? Are you okay with that?
I'm a healthcare provider. I'm being worked in this whole thing, so I'm being exposed the whole time, and I think it's dangerous. But I think it's an experience life that you can take away from that. I just don't know how too comfortable I'll let my kids to fly to New York, especially. But
it's a fascinating but difficult. And you're in the front line, so you see it. You know the risk. But
I've seen it. I've treated patients. I had used the PPEs. I've seen positive patients. So I've been exposed directly the whole time.
Yeah.
So I don't feel so afraid because I've been out there is a reality for me. But it's have your kids away and be exposed.
Yeah.
It is hard because you have no control of their lives.
Anna, I wish you the best. I wish them the best as well. Congrats on on graduating for your daughter, and good luck to her as she moves forward. Again, the number 800-743-9576. We're going to continue this conversation again about the future for this graduating class in the fall. What's going to happen next? What should happen? We'd love to hear from you. More coming up next. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Let's continue our conversation about the future for the 2020 graduating high school class. You know, again, a lot of universities and colleges are trying to figure out what to do for the fall. Do they open up their campuses again? Maybe just offer courses online? What is the option? And if you are a student in the class of 2020 or you're a parent of a student of the class of 2020, what are you going to do? Are you going to, if the university you want to attend is open, are you going to go or are you going to wait it out and stay here at home? We'd love to hear from you. 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-WLRN. You can always find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. We're joined by Cedric Sawyer, a senior at Miami Southridge Senior High. Anna Riveros is a senior at New World School of the Arts. And Dave Marcus is an admissions coach and former education reporter at the Miami Herald. Dave Marcus, I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned earlier about a gap year. You're a big advocate of the gap year. First, remind people of what that is, because I remember when I was coming up a long time ago, we called it something else.
You probably call it goofing off.
Yes.
So, but it's really not anymore. So I think that it's something we should, again, I'm careful to tell people what to do right now because everybody has a different situation in their family. As we just heard from these amazing stories from Anna and Cedric and the callers and people, everybody we know has different stories. But I think it's really time to put a pause on for a lot of kids or consider it. Nobody has said that I know of in, you know, sort of the czar of life that you have to go right from high school to college, right from high school to junior college, to community college. And I think it's actually really valuable for students, for teenagers to take a break and take some time off. Now, a gap year used to be traveling and working and volunteering and things like that. But now a gap year we could reconsider. Maybe it would be taking some courses at a community college by Zoom, by online, or in person if they're open. Maybe it'd be taking Khan Academy and other free courses. There are all kinds of free courses, even from Harvard and MIT and all kinds of places. And most, many of the FIU, FSU, University of Miami have some free courses now, I've heard. And maybe it's a time just to stop and think and have family time or have intellectual time. Maybe I've talked to some students and I've recommended they volunteer. You volunteer, you can babysit by Zoom. There's so many parents who are working at home that they need somebody to help out to teach a kid Spanish or volunteer for or for pay or to just entertain the kids. So that might be a thing to do. I just am wary of students going to really populated cities where kids are converging. Now, Anna and Cedric, I identify with both of you. Cedric, my daughter's studying criminal justice, as you are, and Anna, my daughter's at Northeastern University, which is right next to Berkeley in Boston. And I know, listen, nobody listens to my advice in my family. I know my daughter would love to go back to Boston. I think it might not be a great idea to go in August back to Boston.
Let me come back to something you said, though. All right. So the gap year, I mean, I remember, you know, when I was coming up, it was basically like, hey, take some time off, do some traveling. The travel might be a good experience for you, working maybe to save money to pay for college. But to gain life experiences, right? Isn't that part of the, isn't that what it's supposed to be? To gain some life experiences, maybe mature a little bit?
Well, look, ideally, I mean, everything in our world is just been jolted. So yes, ideally a gap year would be sort of an external thing. Working a job in a restaurant or a warehouse or going to Honduras and volunteering or whatever it may be. But we have to rethink gap years like everything else. So maybe it'd be more of an internal thing. It'd be a chance to read and reflect and volunteer by Zoom or in a safe way,
but
not to get out as much.
Does that hurt you as a student if you're applying for school, like later to say, look, I took that year off. What did I do? I mean, you know, you can't travel much right now. You can't do a lot because of the pandemic. But I mean, does that hurt the admissions process? Will a school look at you negatively?
Right. The way gaps often work is, so we're talking to seniors right now, and Cedric, so take them as an example. It depends on the college, but many colleges, you can say, listen, I want to go, I want to focus, I want to be present, I want to be really part of the fabric of college. And so that's going to be too distracting for the next year, I'm afraid. So I would like, I've been admitted. I've gotten maybe financial aid. I'd like you just to defer me, to hold my place for a year. I'm telling you now.
And they'll do
and
it?
Here's what I'm going to do for the next year. I'm going to study. I'm going to volunteer within limits of physical things. I'm going to take care of a family member. Many, many, many colleges are now willing to do it.
Do you think that this pandemic is going to force people to take gap years?
Yes, and I think it's a good thing to do for an unfortunate reason. Now, the president of my alma mater is named Christina Paxson. She's at Brown University, and she's made the point that we can actually have colleges kind of back to normal life if we have three things. One is testing, one is tracing, one is screening. So you're making sure that you're seeing that students are okay and safe, then isolating if they do test positive. But right now, frankly, we don't have the testing and tracing and screening mechanisms in Florida, where I used to live. I know that, or in many other states. So I think that that's why it's a time to discuss at least just having a pause for a semester or for a year. Many colleges will do that because they know that we're living in an extraordinary time. And even in regular times, if you make a good case, if you say, here are three goals that I want to do in my gap semester or gap year, a lot of colleges will say, all right, that's fine. And let's say you're a senior and you really didn't get into a college that you wanted to go to. Well, then the gap gives you a chance to sort of re-jigger, to take some courses and to apply again.
It's an interesting concept. Not a new one, but it's an interesting concept considering the conditions that we're living. 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-WLRN. Again, if you're a parent or a student of the class of 2020, what are your plans for the fall? I want to go to Danielle in Boynton Beach. Danielle, welcome to the program. Danielle, you there?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, welcome to the program, Danielle. What's up?
Okay, so I am a parent of the class of 2020, and my son has accomplished so many big things. Like, he got accepted into four Ivy Leagues, and we decided that
congrats.
He'll be going to Dartmouth in the fall. And I'm one of those parents, and my son agreed, like, let's try the best that we can. But he would love to start school in the fall, and I'm willing to take the risk of sending him up to New Hampshire in the fall. We've also talked about an option of, I think I read it somewhere, where they were considering allowing the freshman class to attend in the fall and easing back the other upperclassmen in as, you know, things dying better. And I think that's a great option. I would hate for his freshman year in college to be postponed because of the coronavirus, although we do understand the risk that sending him back up there would take. But,
well, Danielle, let me ask you this. As we get into the summer, what do you need to see and hear to make you a little more comfortable about your son going off to Dartmouth?
One thing that I would love is just more testing. And I guess we just don't trust the testing. Just more testing. You don't have to have symptoms. You don't have to be a first responder. Just more testing for the general population.
That's all right. Well, you know what? That's one of the questions about what the universities are going to do. Will they offer testing to the students? And obviously, what are they going to do to protect their students, making sure that the campuses are sanitized and clean, but also would they provide students with basic PPEs, the masks or gloves or anything else? Danielle,
Right. Congratulations,
first of all, on your son's success.
You.
And I hope that he gets up there, or at least, you know, he's going to get to school eventually. And congratulations to all of you. So at least enjoy that part of it.
I know we're trying. So it's very hard with graduation having been canceled and nothing. But, you know, we're taking it in strides. We do understand it's not just us going through it. It's the whole nation. It's the whole world, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
But, you know, since Dartmouth is less dense in population, I guess that's one of the reasons why we didn't mind him going. So if they do open up, I will send him there, you know, with a heavy heart. But I'll send him because Dartmouth is, you know, it's not like it's New York or Boston is less dense, less populated. So we'll see.
All right. Well, Danielle, again, congratulations. Thanks so much for the call. You know what? Anna and Cedric, I wanted to come to you. Cedric, let me start with you. I mean, you know, you're going through this experience now, but I want you to think about that class of students behind you, juniors. Look, this pandemic may last a while. We may not have a vaccine for a long time. We don't know what's going to happen in the coming years. But what advice would you give them as they're coming up as to how to make the most of their senior year under these conditions and how to think about and prepare for that future?
What I would tell the underclassmen or the soon-to-be seniors is to, you know, remain steadfast and to believe that everything that you sow into will eventually harvest into the things that you want it to be. I wouldn't give up on what things may look like now, and I would just probably focus more on what I would like things to be, and just to remain optimistic, because there are so many times in our senior year that we may try to give up, because senior year may be hard for a lot of us because we go through different things. We're growing up. We have all these deadlines, these due dates. So at some point it became a hassle for us, but we still prolonged, you know, our desire and optimistic nature to get us here.
And you know what? Because again, you know, for you, you want to study criminal justice, but also you work so much in the areas of mental health. What is that advice on mental health and how to stay positive? Because it's, you could say that, but it's not easy.
Yes. So, my mental health training comes from the Sandy Hook organization, which originated from, you know, the gun violence that originated in schools, specifically in the Sandy Hook Elementary incident. What we're just trained on is just basically how to know the signs and see the signs. So there are many different signs of people becoming, you know, isolated or having mental health, you know, issues. And, you know, understanding and acknowledging these things help others who may not be going through that to be more sensitive enough and, you know, understanding enough to help each other, because mental health isn't something that's just, you know, easy to be on one's lonesome. It takes a village to, you know, help the community grow.
Absolutely. Anna, how has this pandemic brought the graduating class of 2020 closer together?
I mean, I feel like it's these kind of events that make you stronger, right? These are, yes, prom is something you remember and cherish forever, but there is also something really powerful to be said about when you're put with a group of people and everyone has everything they've been looking forward to just kind of pulled out from under them, and you have to kind of navigate this new world together. And I mean, I truly, as weird as it sounds, part of me feels very, you know, fortunate throughout all of this to have the amazing community that I do have at my school, and just have gone to a place for 4 years where it was always about how can we turn this into something positive, and how can we use our passion, especially, you know, in the arts, to kind of make this mean something to us and bring out some kind of, you know, like this wasn't for nothing kind of moment. And I really feel that this experience has unfortunately forced us, you know, although unfortunate circumstances, it really has pushed us to all be reminded of what we did have and how lucky we were.
You're right.
I just, that kind of hindsight, you know, I don't think we'll ever go into another situation, another classroom, and be like, oh, I don't want to be here. You know, every moment, we were just taught that every moment is to be cherished, and every relationship and being with people, it's priceless.
You don't know what you have until you lose it. You appreciate
exactly.
it a lot afterwards, definitely. Dave, we'll finish with this just briefly. What do you think is going to happen to higher education as we move forward? There are a lot of concerns for not just students, but for the institutions.
I'm very worried about it. First of all, higher education, besides being so important to advancing everybody from every background in this country, there's an economic reality. It's a $600 billion industry, which keeps a lot of communities afloat, and it's the main employer in many, many places. So I'm very worried about some smaller schools with small endowments going out of business. I will say, though, that, you know, Anna and Cedric and the callers too, you're so inspiring. And I just heard from Anna and Cedric, like, the makings of essays for juniors and sophomores and everybody else who's going to be applying to college.
There you go.
The optimism and the determination and the fact that you are going to be part of the generation that finds us vaccines, that brings this divided country together, and that helps us move on. And education is really important to that. It might mean that some students delay, but ultimately higher ed colleges will go on, and I hope that they'll survive, the ones with less money will survive.
I will say, just from my experience of talking to this younger generation, I have a lot of confidence in them, and so I, you know, their future as iffy as it may seem now, I have no doubts for them. Again, I want to thank Cedric Sawyer, senior at Miami Southridge Senior High, Anna Rivera, a senior at New World School of the Arts. Both of you, congratulations and best of luck to you moving forward. Also, Dave Marcus, an admissions coach and former education reporter at the Miami Herald. Dave, thanks so much.
Thank you.